With the Tacoma Men's Weekend having finished just this last weekend, I was so glad on many levels, but one is that we could share the Sabbath service with you and give you a little taste of what it's like there. But I wanted to fill in some of that today and share some more with you. But the theme of the Men's Weekend was called to be men of God. And it was such a good theme that we could talk about and have a group of men together and really get into some of the things that God has called us to do, to be. The sermon title today just expands that for all of us, called to be men and women of God. And I want to just do a real quick review of some of the things we covered because they were so helpful to all of us. It would have been equally helpful to all of our ladies as well. It's just that we had the time to be there together as a group of men. And on purpose, we do not record those so that we can have ease of action and ease of conversation among us during our interactive sessions. But all of the sessions were so good. They were just remarkable in a sense. Our theme comes from, and I want you to turn and read this because this is something that's there for all of us and shows a progress of where we are and how we get to where we'll be. And this is in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture, so it focuses our attention on the word of God and the entirety of it, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so all through the year, we'll have all the different messages about these things. It says in verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And for the woman of God, for the children of God to be made complete. There's a progress of us in our life as we are called. During the men's weekend, there were 6 presentations plus the Sabbath services, and all of them were closely connected with this theme of being the men of God, and today we're going to add to that the women of God as well. We started out with my first session of the Sabbath morning, becoming men of God. How is it? What is the process? And so I just tied that with the power of faith and hope and love in the course of our lives, basing that on what we can read in 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says there at toward the end of the chapter, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. And he lifts it then, when he became a man, he spoke as a man. And so there's this process of growth. And it was very well demonstrated and explained in the first message about that pearl of great price and the growing of that pearl over the course of time. And so it's a very, very good analogy that can be applied in many ways. We become the men and women of God over the course of our life. Lynn and Dave, Lynn Pate, Dave Goffels gave a very, very good presentation titled Leaders Eat Last. And if you think about it and you notice what they do when they're here, when we have a potluck, they're talking, they're visiting, and they get in line at the very end, or almost at the very end. And this is not something they've just begun doing. This is something they've been doing for a long time. But just the title conveyed to us a leadership role. Leaders are caring of the flock, caring of others around them, making sure they will have what they need, and leaders eat last. And they mentioned that their key verse was in Matthew 20, verse 26 to 28. We'll just read that because it's kind of set the tone for all the rest of the weekend as well. A really great focus here. In Matthew 20, verse 26, Christ is here speaking to his disciples and about how they should be. And he said, yet it shall not be so among you, not that they would be overlords and and controlling people toward others shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And what a great starting point in that example we have of being servants and helping. And so it was such an important element of our weekend that we serve in many ways. You will enjoy, by the way, if you have time to talk to Lynn and Dave about these things, and they are so passionate about what they brought and presented. I'd be glad to share those things with any of you in a conversation as well. Roberto, later that day, gave a really good sermonette entitled A Man of God, and followed up by Mr. Shaby's sermon, What It Means to Be a Man, in a physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense, to be male and female as God has created us for the purpose that he has in mind for us. A very excellent sermon. If you didn't get to hear it, we'll try to get that posted here in the next few days for you as well. Ben Light gave a presentation entitled Called According to His Purpose. And if you listen to that and read the notes, and I'm going to speak a little about that as we go on, called according to his purpose. And there is such an overarching purpose that God has in mind when he created humanity from the very beginning. But it also is very personal and includes every single one of us too, that we are called according to his purpose. Ben read Romans 8:28, a very common verse that we read, common in the sense of often applies in so many different ways in our life. Let's turn and read Romans 8:28 together, and we see something that he pointed out to us. And it's very obvious, but we read it this way. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And oftentimes he said, we kind of stop there. All things work for good. It'll work out. Hang in there. It'll work out. But the verse continues, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so God does have that great purpose to each one of us whom he has called. We talked quite a lot about this, and all of these sessions were very interactive, and so there was question and answer and comments from all the men who were there. Mr. Porteous gave a really good presentation about what is most important. So in our calling as men and women, what is most important? And how do we know what that is and how we focus on that? Daniel's key verse, and there were others that fit with it, is Matthew 22, verse 37. I asked the men in advance, what are your key verses so that as we went through the weekend, we would kind of have a focus of where we're going and know what's coming with each of the presentations. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said to him, he was asked a question by a scribe, what is the great commandment? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and we'll continue. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So much we can discuss there, and I really appreciated the bringing of this into the weekend to have that as our focus, that greatest commandment that is the most important. Paul Moody gave a presentation. I wish I'd recorded this one, or not me. I wish our team had recorded it because it just turned out to be so good. Not that the others weren't, but this one focused in a way that really made an impact. It's titled Purpose, Vision, and Action. And his basis was in Proverbs 29 and verse 18. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. And there was this purpose, the law, the revelation of it, the vision, and then the action, who keeps the law, who lives by it. And what a really good presentation and session of interaction that we had. One thing he said, he quoted Yogi Berra, and he said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll wind up somewhere else. So things like that, but it really helped us keep it light enough to really pick it up. Mr. Shaby concluded with an overview of the work around the world. It was quite encouraging. And he used as his key verse, Ephesians 2. Let's turn and read this. And it was a very good wrap-up to the presentations of the weekend. And dispersed in between these were all the times of our fellowship, our time we could talk and share meals and socialize together. In Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22, we can read this. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. His focus is on the church as it is around the world and what God is doing in many different parts of the world with many different kinds of people, and pointing out to us that every part is important, and every building block, every living stone that is going into the building of the church has its plan and purpose. Continuing, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And this is what the church is and is to become, is to be a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. This is the quality of messages and sessions we had and discussion among ourselves. And again, any of these, all of these together would have been such a wonderful message for all of us. That's just a very quick summary of three days of our visiting together, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. From my point of view, to bring to you a message based on those, filtered from it and now presented, not in the order of they were given, but picking some of those points from each of the different presentations, I wanted to add this part for all of us, a synopsis of the weekend, if you will, on a spiritual basis from my point of view. God's great purpose for each one of us is so important. We can read of this in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 to 9. That water is so good. Nancy and I were driving back across eastern Washington yesterday in an un-air-conditioned truck, which we really, really appreciated. Someone loaned us a truck to take kayaks to our grandkids in Montana, and on the way back, driving back in a diesel truck in the hot temperatures, no air conditioning, and the windows down, we needed a lot of water. So I'm still trying to rehydrate. I digressed a little bit, but we always do. Don't you? Do you ever digress? You're talking along and something comes up and you go, oh, that reminds me of this. And then you talk about it for a while. Sometimes it's good. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 and 9. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, the testimony that gives us his words, tells us of his examples, teaches of what he did, what he said. Nor of me, his prisoner, Paul said. Paul was so active, and you read of his history and all that he went through. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us. We're talking about God's great purpose here, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Mr. Porteous mentioned this verse, his purpose and his grace. And we need both. But it's now been revealed to us by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we have that great purpose that he's given us. And then from knowing that there is a purpose, we move and we can see that God's purpose will be achieved. And how it will be achieved is revealed in all the scriptures and in the gospel message that's mentioned right here in this passage. It's demonstrated and emphasized throughout all of the scriptures. We put these things together with what we are hearing, learning through that whole weekend last week. We must choose to love God. Loving God is the keeping of his commandments. Loving God is a choice. We need to choose to love God, and our love is shown by our keeping of his commandments. Many verses teach us this. It was that way from the very beginning, as it was with Adam and Eve and the two trees, and the choice was made. Do I love God more or Eve? And you can think of many different ways to apply that, but it was a choice. And it came down to showing our love for God by keeping his commandments. It started this way. There was a breaking of that commandment, a drifting away from the love of God. Will always be so, always, brethren, for you, for me, for all of us. I want to just show you one way we can tell it will always be. The keeping of his commandments is a choice that brings good blessings to us. In Revelation 22, at the end of the scriptures, beginning in verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly. This Christ is being quoted here. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. That tree that wasn't valued enough, the command to not take of the other one, but they could partake of this one, we will have the right to that tree. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And brethren, that is God's purpose, to bring us into that city, to give us life, to give us eternal life. It is according to his purpose and by his grace for those who love God and whose love is shown by keeping his commandments. It's one of the great points we covered in the men's weekend in different ways. God wants us to see our calling. He wants us to have vision of what our calling is. Part of it is expressed in that passage in Revelation. God, in his love and his grace, has called us to glory. And he wants us to have a vision of where it is we're going, how we're going to get there. He wants us to have this vision and to know that it is real and that it is his purpose for us. We read of this in 1 John 3. Again, very often quoted because it's such a powerful passage. 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. And see how it puts in place? Love. God's love. His purpose. All the things that are attached to his love. That we should be called children of God. That's his vision. That's his purpose for us. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Again, back to that first message we had. The world doesn't understand these things. It's going to be a very serious irritant to them. Verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God. Today, tomorrow, the rest of our lives, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He's called us to glory, to be like him, to see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him, in God, purifies himself just as he is pure. And this was brought out during the men's weekend too. If we have this vision, then we are motivated to achieve it, to seek it, and to work toward it in our own lives with God's help, with his grace. Paul Moody mentioned a verse along this line in John chapter 8, in verse 14. John 8, verse 14, when Jesus was defending his own reputation, his own testimony to those who questioned him. And he says here, in just part of this verse, he says, I know where I came from and where I am going. Jesus Christ had a very clear understanding of his purpose and his vision, where he was going. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. And brethren, that's so important for us too, to know where we have come from and where we are going. We can see these elements in other passages of Scripture. And just to tie this in very quickly, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 4 and 5, where are we going? Peter wrote, 1 Peter 2, verse 4, coming to him. We're walking toward him. We're walking in his footsteps. Coming to him as a living stone. He is that living stone that is the cornerstone of the temple. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also. What a great encouragement this is, as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is where we're going. This is what God is doing. And this is such a wonderful thing, brethren, for us to see. This is where we need to keep our vision, and not be distracted by the things of the world, but what is happening in God's calling for us. In verse 9 and 10, it says, but you are a chosen generation. We need to know this and feel it and believe it, that we are so valuable to God and to Jesus Christ. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, where we were, where we came from, and where we're going. And we need to have that very, very clear. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, the men and women of God, the ones he considers to be so precious, so holy, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It's a beautiful thing to see the expression of God's own words toward us in this way. Seeing that vision, knowing his purpose, then there must be principles by which we can live so that we can be those living stones, so we can be that kind of treasure to him, so we can be that chosen generation, that we can be the children, the people of God. This was the focus of my contribution in particular, but it was built on and by the others too, and it all came many times in different ways to show this. seeing the godly principles that are connected to faith and hope and love, to vision and purpose and action, to what is most important, to all of these things. It helps us grow in our initial calling to being mature and complete, thoroughly equipped, as it says, for every good work, to become the men and women of God. Here are some principles to consider. And this will just kind of prime the pump, and you can find many more in your study, in your conversation with others. With our calling, a principle, with our calling to be the men and women of God, there is accountability. It doesn't just happen because we see it or because we heard it. We need to be accountable. In 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17, he gives us these principles and these guiding things in our lives. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Do you ever hear of things in the news and read of things and see them in your neighborhoods that look like this sounds? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. I think this is what Mr. Shaby was focusing on in his sermon and also then in his wrap-up, that we're not of the world. We are called to be the men and women physically that God created us to be, and spiritually that God is transforming us to become. In 1 Peter 2, verse 1 through 3, extending the principles here, 1 Peter 2, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice. So in becoming men and women of God, this is part of how we respond. It's part of, we see the vision, we do this to obtain it. Laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. Our attention is turned towards something so much better. And we begin to desire that you may grow thereby. And as we grow, we begin to understand more. And then we are able to understand and live by the meat of the word as well. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So he gives us these ways. All through the scripture, we can see how he guides us. There's some very good advice about growing and the encouragement and how it will help us to attain to this purpose in 2 Peter chapter 5. No, excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, this is a passage I looked at as so important that several years ago it was our theme for the whole year. And we had many different studies and messages about what is here. But you see here some of the principles that will guide our lives. 2 Peter 1, verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. And throughout this men's weekend, this was keep focused, keep on this way, keep doing it. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. And so there's this pattern of growth in character and in the ability to serve and ability to help others. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. You see what God is calling us to become, more and more spiritual, more and more able to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have someone who is living a life that is described by this passage. They're going to be very good helpers of you as you need help and advice. Go to someone who's showing this kind of growth in their life. to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. He says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So he's saying, don't drop back. Keep going up and forward. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Be even more diligent to be the man of God that he called you to be, or the woman that he called you to be, the spiritual son or daughter of God. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. He tells us we can make it through whatever trial and stay steadfast in our spiritual lives. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God's purpose will have been attained to bring you into his kingdom. His vision that you would be there will have been reached and fulfilled. And then a great future opens up. Brethren, there are so many things like this in the scriptures. We could speak and will many times yet in the future of all of these kinds of things. There's so many ways we can benefit. And I just want to say again, for those who came to the men's weekend and benefited and contributed to it, you know personally how important and how valuable that was. Share that with others. For those of you who are not able to come, the men, ask about it. And ask the different friends. For all the ladies who are here, your husbands if they went, your friends if they went, there's so much to share. We need to be able to help each other. And we'll conclude with a passage that shows this and that illustrates these points all put together in one passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Speaking of us all as the sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. Actually, I'm going to back up and speak from verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, and some fathers and some mothers, and some brothers in the faith, some sisters in the faith, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, so that we can all be thoroughly equipped for every good work, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that one body that Mr. Shaby was speaking about that is being built around the world, a holy temple in many different countries, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till we've reached that level of spiritual maturity in our lives when we can pass it on to other people, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. Just remind you of that first message again all over. You see how things are there in the scripture that just help us to learn these lessons from many different ways. But speaking the truth in love, by living it in love, by being the brothers and sisters we need to be, may grow up in all things, and to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by what every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's God's purpose. That's his vision. And he's making it happen in his church that Jesus Christ is building. this holy temple. God has called us to be his sons and daughters. He has made this possible through Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith, with hope, in love, to his glory forever.